We've been in a series. We're in the middle of a series, if you're just joining us, talking about really friends and neighbors, just people who are kind of on the fringe. And there's a lot of people that say, like, I want to believe, but it's like, you know, I have some background in the Lord, or I see there is some evidence of the Lord. I'm almost there. It's just something's just off, and I'm just not sure. And so the idea of there's some reason why I would commit to the Lord, but I'm just not there yet. And so today we're going to talk about, I want to believe, but I don't feel it. And it's a practical thing. In fact, I remember one time I was standing right there, was up by that pole, and we had a friend come in who was not a believer, and he was here. He'd been here. He visited us 2 weeks, and I said, so, you know, how's it going? Is there anything I pray for you about? You know, what do you think about the Lord? And he's like, you know what? He said, I come in here, and I hear what you're saying, and I kind of get it. But you guys are singing. You got sometimes you get your hands raised, and you guys know words to stuff, and I don't know. He's like, I just don't feel it. He literally said those words, and I was like, I guess I get that. I see what you're saying. And, you know, that was his thing. And for a lot of people, that's their thing, especially if you know someone who, you know, they have testimony. They said, you know, I was reading the Bible the other day, and something just reached out and got me. You know, they feel it. Or, you know, I went to that place over there, and it just felt wrong, and I just left. And, you know, if you know someone like that, it's kind of like, I don't feel it as much as you. Maybe something wrong with me, or maybe God's not calling me like he's calling you. And so sometimes there's that reason why maybe we just don't feel it. And maybe we should ask, should we be feeling it? Is God a feeling? Is this Holy Spirit a feeling? So just for fun, I'd like to do a little interaction here. Who at some time in their life would say they felt the presence of the Lord, or they felt something about God, they felt something in their whole life? Okay. And I just want to challenge, you don't have to answer out loud, but just challenge you for a minute. How do you know? Like, what was the feeling? You know, if you had to describe it to someone, was it like an emotion? Was it a thought? You know, did you feel comfortable? Did you feel uncomfortable? You know, a lot of times people say, I felt a peace. I felt something. And sometimes we feel something, sometimes we don't. Just a quick poll. Did anyone feel anything this morning at church or getting up this morning? Anyone felt anything today? Okay. I think I would say I did when Charlie was praying, actually. I thought, oh, this is kind of what we're talking about. So, but a lot of times we don't feel something. And it kind of begs the question, if we don't feel something, is God still there? Or is something wrong, something going on? And we have testimony in the Bible. We're going to see what some of the people in the Bible said about feeling it. And sometimes they don't feel it. And so part of the whole series is kind of getting our hands on, is that good evidence? Or does someone have a wrong idea of what it means to be close to God? Maybe some people think that if you're not feeling it, that you don't know God, or maybe God's not real. And so we're going to start off here, and I'm going to jump around a couple places, but if you'd like to have something for your Bible this week or this morning, we're going to end in the book of Acts. So I'm going to jump around because today is kind of topical, but if you want a great Bible verse just to stew over this week, and I guarantee it'll bless you this week, we're going to be in Acts 17 is where we're going to end. If you want to turn there or flip there or tap there, whatever you do. Acts 17 is where we're going to end. But I'm going to start somewhere else. So there was, there we go. So here's one example. This is David. And David is writing his Psalms and stuff. And he says this. He says, you know, Lord, I cry to you in the morning. My prayer comes before you. But God, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? So one example of feeling it and not feeling it would be one of the most famous men in the Bible, David. David is famous because God approved of him. He did good and he messed up. He's a great example of he's just real, right? But generally, he's kind of famous in the Bible. And David is the same guy who wrote this. He said, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, nothing's going to scare me. I don't fear at all." Because, why? Because you are with me. So we know David was a man who sometimes he felt it. Sometimes he's like, "God, what's going on? Have you left me? I don't have any evidence. I don't know. It's just maybe this feeling. And I just feel like maybe my prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. You know, what's going on, Lord?" And he says, "I cry out to you." It mattered to him. It mattered a lot. There we go. I thought I lost a paper. Other times in the Bible, an example would be in Proverbs. Oops. Sorry. My kids helped me put my papers together this morning. There we go. Sorry about that. I'm so sorry. Other times, not so much. What do you think, for example, Jesus Christ, okay? Jesus, God's own son, God in the flesh, he came down. He was doing the very thing that God sent him to do, and he suffers, he's sacrificing, and he's on the cross. He's in the middle of the thing that the Lord told him to do. He's hanging up there, he's in pain, he's paying for the sins of the world. Then God's word tells us that something happened, he became sin for us, he became all the guilt for us, whatever, however he did it, I don't know how it works, we don't know how it works, we just know Jesus took on all the bad for us. And in the middle of that, because God is holy, somehow he turned his back on him, and Jesus, one of the Trinity, says this. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Lord, I don't feel you anymore. No one has walked closer with you, Father, on the earth than me ever, and now I don't feel it. And your presence, and it hurts, and it's a lonely and it's a cold feeling. And people mourn over it. It matters. It matters, but sometimes we don't feel it. So thought we'd just kind of address the idea of I want to believe in God, but I don't feel it with this. Maybe here are three reasons why we might not feel God. Three real reasons, practical. And there are probably lots of things, but here are three, I think, that would make great conversation for your friends or your family. Okay. Number one is we might not feel God's presence because one is simply I'm expecting too much. You know, I saw the guy on TV get zapped and I didn't get zapped or whatever, right? I'm expecting, over-sensationalizing it, right? And, I'm talking to my friend who's a Christian and she is just walks with the Lord and she's always having these stories about, you know, she's reading, then something happened and just that doesn't happen to me. And I'm just expecting it to happen to me like it's happening to her. Or I've got like my buddy who's like leading this Bible study and he always has a story from the week. And it's not happening to me, right? And I'm expecting it to happen to me like, kind of like it happened to him or someone else. I might be expecting too much. The truth is, God doesn't always work that way. And he works different for every person. The disciples and the Pharisees in the crowd said the same thing to Jesus one time. They said, "Hey, what sign are you going to do that we can see and believe you? What work are you going to perform?" They said, "You know, our fathers, they ate manna in the wilderness. As it was written, God gave them bread from heaven to eat." Like they were in awe. Something happened and they're like, you know, they're just moved in their hearts because they just saw the evidence of God. And it's like, oh, like, what are you going to do to help us feel it? You know, what are you going to just, I want to be so convinced by you, Lord, by something physical, by something in the flesh. What are you going to do? And Jesus basically just totally sidestepped the whole conversation. He's like, you know, that's just not how it always works, you know? And the truth is, feelings are not the only evidence that God is with us. God is with us, and sometimes we might have some evidence like that, but feelings are not the only evidence that God is with us. The fact is, if we always felt the presence of God, we wouldn't need faith. And just because this is how God set it up, he requires faith. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, he says, you know, it's impossible to please God without faith. He requires some trust. He wants us to trust him sometimes. Sometimes he gives us a feeling or some evidence, or we know that we have all of God's creation as evidence before us, and sometimes he reaches out and does something special to give us a little encouragement because he cares for us. But the truth is, he also wants us to trust him and have some faith. Three reasons why we might not feel God, Christian or non-Christian. Number one, you might be expecting too much, over-sensationalizing. Number two, and this is just, we just have to be honest because we deal in the truth here, and I'm not trying to be harsh or anything, but another reason might be is our heart might be hardened. Oh, I'm sorry. Heart might be hardened. So if our heart is hardened, that's like when we are close to the Lord and we feel it, or we know him, or we're walking along the same path as him, and it's going great, but something changes, and I no longer feel it. Like David said, man, we used to be close, but God, now it's like you hide your face from me. And generally the reason why our heart becomes hardened is because of sin, is because we do something and it creates this layer between us and the Lord. It's kind of like adultery. It's kind of like if a man and a woman are married, right, and they're just the best of friends, and they share life together and it's going great, and then either the man or the woman, either one, if they go off and commit adultery, when they come back, even if they really both want to, something is simply lost. There's something between them now. They've lost that. There's a little bit of hardening. And that's like sin. When we sin against the Lord, it sort of creates that layer. It's that lack of trust now. And that husband or that wife, they wouldn't feel it like they normally would. And it takes a little bit of time to build the trust back up and to get back close to the Lord again. Jesus was quoting Isaiah here. He said, this people's heart has grown dull. With their ears they can barely hear, and with their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and then they would turn, and I would heal them. Sometimes we just sin and we get away from the Lord, and we just need to return. We just need to return to him. You know, I remember one time where I wanted to feel it, and I just was not feeling it. I thought others were feeling it, and I thought maybe I must be missing something. I don't know if my heart was hardened or what. And I remember two times specifically. I was growing up. I was about 14 or so, and my friend, who was a real Christian, I was just figuring life out. He invited me to go see, it was called the Power Team back then. And if you're anywhere close to my age or older, maybe you remember there was this team of muscle builders, these muscle guys called the Power Team. What they would do was they'd come to a town, they'd organize it, they'd publicize and stuff, and they'd get in a church and they'd invite the whole town. Usually it was kind of like a youth rally, and these big muscle guys would come in and they would like break stuff, they would like tear leather with their teeth, they had big blocks of ice that were this thick, and they'd run and like smash through them, they'd like bend the metal, like tear phone books in half. And we all came to just like ooh and awe, and then they have like a gospel message at the end. They'd usually have some testimony. And so we're watching the Power Team. And these guys, you know, we're like lower teenagers here, and we were all scrawny, and we're like this big, right? And they come down the aisle, and they're huge. And so we're just like glued on these guys. And they do all these acts of power and strength and hardness, and it's like awesome. And then they give their testimony, like what they were like before and how their life was in ruins. And they're just like, you see the vulnerability of these hard guys. And people are starting to like cry in the audience, you know. And the speaker starts crying. And everyone's crying more. And people are like repenting. They're like, yeah, Lord, I've gotten away from you too. And people are like feeling it, right? And I'm sitting there like, this is like my first experience with any of this stuff. I'm like, what is this that I've been invited to? And I don't know any of these people. This is weird. So I turn over to my friends, and literally they look like this. They look like right there. can't hardly see it, but like Tobey Maguire, you know, with the tears just flowing down, and they got the ugly cry faces, and they're my two friends, they're just totally feeling it, and I'm feeling nothing, right? They're just covered in whatever God's doing, or maybe it's just emotionalism, I don't know, but I was expecting to be like them, and it wasn't happening. And the truth is, I was just in the world, right? I wasn't close to the Lord, and he was probably working on me that time, and I would say that God started something around that time, and I remember praying the prayer and stuff, but I wasn't there yet. Another time I did not feel it, and I'm just telling stories because maybe you can relate to sometime in your life too. Another time I didn't feel it, honestly, the night I came to the Lord and I got saved. We were in this big church, and they had a special guest there, and he was just a fantastic communicator. And in the end, he said, you know, some of you know that it's time to get right with the Lord. He's already been working on you. I just happen to be the guy that's calling you forward. And I'm saying, will you now finally give into Jesus? And for me, it was just like, I knew. I was like, I was about 18. God had probably been working on me for 6 months strong. People were starting to get saved in my family. And I'm like, I know I need a Savior. I know I'm not that awesome. Lord Jesus, I need you. And so however God worked, I went down there, and it was this big church. And it wasn't that picture, but it was something like that. I mean, it was a ton of people, right? And people like over here crying. Someone over there is like so happy. And I'm standing there like, I'm just trying to do what makes sense. And I remember the guy on the stage, it was a big stage, he leans over, and there's this girl like right, like it's tight, and there's a girl like right here. And she's just like snot coming down her chin, kind of like covered, right? She's all up in it. And he leans over for the first few people, and he's like, I'm going to see you in heaven someday. And she's like, okay, right? And I'm like, I don't feel it, but I know I want to be with the Lord. And other people might have been feeling it, but I didn't have that sensation, you know? And I think God was starting to work on me. And I remember after that time now, something weird happened. I started repenting for my sin. I wanted to be close to the Lord. And I think God was starting to carve away that hard heart a little bit. And sometimes, I don't know, I felt something. Sometimes I felt like the Lord's conviction, or I felt him maybe warm my heart, if I don't know what that means, but I just felt like my heart was warm, like I should have compassion on someone that I never had compassion on before, like that kid at school that I was a jerk to or something. I don't know. He's the Lord of all the earth. We're in his hands. He can move on our hearts however he wants, and he pulled away the hard heart. There's this fantastic pattern that goes through the whole Bible. And, oops. Sorry, I got the clicker the wrong way here. And it kind of, well, I'm just going to read it. Let me see if you see the pattern here. I'm going to start all the way back in Deuteronomy, okay? This is old. This is back in the beginning of your Bible, called the history book. It says, you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search after him with all your heart and all your soul. Okay, next one. Now we're going to move ahead to the wisdom part of the Bible. Here's Proverbs. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Okay, let's move ahead to the prophets. Here's Jeremiah. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. One more, okay? Here's Jesus. He's saying, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open, and he promises it will be open. Do you see a pattern? Even if your heart is hard, you're never too far gone. The message through the entire Bible is no matter where you're at, no matter who you are, return to the Lord, and he is faithful. He will accept you. He'll start taking away the hard heart again, and he'll bring you back. Three reasons why we might not feel God, or might not feel him all the time. Okay, so it might just be that we're expecting too much. Maybe our heart has been hardened. Okay. Or three, I think this one sometimes God uses this as a tool. I might not feel it because God is drawing me closer. There's plenty of famous sayings around this. One would be like this. Something like absence makes the heart grow fonder. Or when there's great distance between two people who love each other, that lack of special time together, it's just like, oh, it creates this yearning and this longing, right? And I remember a time when Lisa and I were still dating before we were married. We had lots of time together. And I was like, are we going to go out this weekend? Yeah, let's go somewhere. Where are we going to go? I don't know, wherever you want to go. Right. And we had lots of time together. It was great. And then we moved states away. And I didn't get to see her all the time. Then it was like, hey, we're going to go out this weekend? Yes. And I'm going to drive 12 hours to get there. And we're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do this. And I'm going to squeeze every single minute out of it. And then I'm going to tiredly drive 12 hours back home. Because my heart had grown fonder. I missed her. And she missed me. And sometimes the Lord leaves that distance there because our affections have grown a little bit softer. And he wants to be the captain of our hearts. And sometimes he'll step away for a minute to let you taste and see what it's like. If you really want to go off on your own, okay, here's a taste of going off on your own if you really want to do that. See, it's not that great. It's not that great. And so you get a taste, you're like, oh man, I miss the Lord. I miss that closeness. You know, Lord, I haven't felt it in a while. I want to feel it again. I want to be close to you. And his promise is, seek and you will find. If you do it with your whole heart and come back to me, that is what I'm waiting for. That's what he wants for us. So one of my favorite punishments, I don't love punishments, but one of my favorite punishments for my kid is just send him to the room and close the door. We added the close the door part because they cry so loud. I thought they got to close the door, right? So when my kids are super young, I noticed it's a different punishment for the younger kids than it is the older kids. For the older kids, it's like jail. Like they want to play, but they can't play. But for my youngest kids, when I send them to the room and close the door, it hurts them because they want to be with us. And we're out like playing a board game on the table or we're out wrestling on the floor. And it's not that they are not getting to do what they want to do. It's because they feel like they're away from mommy and daddy and they're away from brother and sister. And they can't stand it. They hate that. And so when they come back, nothing happened. It's not like they didn't take away any toys, didn't spank them or anything. They just have been away from us, and their heart has changed. They're like, I'll do whatever it takes. I just don't put me away from you again. Just don't keep me away. I want to be with you, right? And even our baby now, we got a one-year-old baby. She can't stand when I put her in the crib and I sit 3 feet away to read a book for a minute. She can't stand that. She wants to be right there on the lap, right? And I think if she was close to me, she'd play all day. But if I hold her away from me for 5 minutes, all she wants to do is sit on my lap. God might be drawing you closer by not feeling it. So last thing, this is where we want to end. This is the verse I hope you take home this week. Acts 17:26 says this. Paul's explaining, Luke is explaining, he says, he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined a lot of periods of time, the boundaries of their dwelling place. Basically, he put together the whole structure of the earth and history. He's the God over all of history and over all the earth. Why'd you do that, Lord? Why'd you do it in such a way that they should seek God and perhaps somehow feel their way toward him and find him? Yet the truth is he's actually not far away from each one of us. There is a principle about feeling the Lord. And even if you are not a Christian, even if you don't even know Christians, we hear from good teachers in the Bible, like Paul, he teaches in Romans. And this is actually part of Paul's speech in Greece, in the middle of Greece. He's saying, you know what? God made it so obvious. He put creation together in such a way where we already have evidence. Even if you never talked to a Christian your whole life, if you never read a Bible, there's something inside of you that recognizes there is some sort of creator, some sort of God. There's no way it could have worked out any other way. God created us to be in awe of mountains and oceans and all that stuff. There's something that he does in our hearts. And he put all of history together in such a way where it's just like, there's got to be something. And if we were to go off right now to some jungle or some desert far away to some tribe that has never heard of Jesus or God, they felt something. and they might have tried to explain it some other way, and it might not have gotten to Jesus yet, but everywhere you go, everywhere every explorer has been, and all the history books, everywhere and everyone that they found, they all believe like there's got to be someone. There's got to be something. And all those people, they were just groping in the dark. Maybe they call it a different name, but they know there's someone out there. And God just wants us. He's just going to display. He's just going to have someone say something to you this week or next week where it's like, oh, there's no way they could have known that. That had to be God. Or something's going to work out because God is always chasing you and always working on our heart. So it's like, oh, I want to seek the Lord and grope in the dark or do whatever I can to try to feel him, try to get to him, right? Because that's what he wants us to do. He made it so we can almost kind of want to feel it, right? Because we know that something is there. And so this week when you are waking up and maybe you're driving and it just works out where you drive, you get a great view of the sunrise. Or you get a hold a baby. I get a hold of a baby every week and I just love it. Or, you know, your husband says something that you weren't expecting and it's just like, I love marriage. You know, I've forgotten how much I love being married. Or your kids, you know, you see them do something they've never done before, maybe on a stage or in the sports, or they bring home a great report card and it's just like, oh, I love my kids. Or wherever you go, someone at work is nice to you. They haven't been nice to you before. Something. And we know that every good thing is a gift from God. If the world were left on its own, we know that it would continue to decline. But God says he's maintaining things and he's made it so there are still good things. And God is just telling us over and over, I've got something good for you. I'm still here. And if you're not feeling it, I want you to seek me and grope in the dark if you have to and find me. And I'm here. And the truth is he's not far from any of us. So that's kind of a challenge I want to give you this week is think about this verse. Maybe take this verse home, maybe put it on your fridge or something, and look for all those things that God has done. He's the God of history. He's the God of the whole earth, you know? And you might run into some divine appointment this week, and he's just hoping it makes you thirsty just to feel him, to seek him this week all the more. And I hope you're encouraged by what he does. Would you stand and let's pray, and then we'll ask the worship team to come back up. Father God, I thank you so much that you are always calling us and you are never very far away from any of us, Lord. Thank you so much that we don't always have to feel it, but we can always seek you and that you are always there. And we can depend on that truth, Lord. I pray, Father God, in the times where we don't feel it or we're just not feeling very Christian or feeling very good or feeling very right, that you just give us enough trust, Lord, just to trust you and to keep on seeking you. And just pray, Father God, that you would encourage every person in this room and over there in the kid zone, Lord, this morning, and that we would see how good you are this week, Lord God, and that we would seek you and find you. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.